Hello and welcome to this training session over types of life insurance policies. What I want to do is break this down into two separate pieces, actually three. First, we're going to start with permanent life insurance policies. Now, permanent policies are called permanent because, first off, they will provide coverage up to age 100 or until the insured dies. That's the first thing that makes them permanent. Now, at age 100, the policy will mature. It's also called the endowment date at age 100. What that means is any cash value that they have in their policy should equal the face amount or the death benefit of the policy at maturity, and that cash value will get paid back to the insured. It doesn't go to the beneficiary. It goes back to the insured because they're still alive and the policy goes away. Next, permanent policies will build cash value. Another name for that cash value is called living benefits. You don't have to die to use it. You can use it while you're still living. So living benefits. Now, since you're buying a permanent policy so that you'll have life insurance, but also so you will have cash value, the insurance company has to make some guarantees to you. So you need to know for your test that every permanent policy and every annuity we talk about are all going to have a guaranteed minimum interest rate that would get paid on them, usually like 3 to 4%. But every permanent policy, every annuity will have that guaranteed minimum interest rate, except for one, which is a variable policy, and I'll talk about that at the end of this chapter. Now, as far as your cash value goes, it is also called the non-forfeiture value. It usually takes 3 years to grow your cash value. The first couple of years, the insurance company keeps everything so they can send you guys on trips and cruises for selling their products. So that's a broad overview of your permanent policies. Now I want to get into the specific types of permanent policies and tell you what you need to know about each one. So first, we have a whole life policy. All a whole life policy is a permanent policy. It builds cash value, has a guaranteed minimum interest rate that gets paid on it. Now, the first thing you need to know is that a whole life policy will have a fixed or level premium. You will know that a policy will have a fixed or level premium if you see the word whole in the name of the policy. So it's kind of word association there. If you see the name whole in the name of the policy and the question is asking about the premium, know that it's fixed or level. And I'll bring that more full circle as we go through the material. Now, there are three forms of whole life. These three forms of whole life are all based on how the premium gets paid. There's a straight life, a limited pay whole life, and a single premium. So first, let's talk about a straight life policy. Now, on a straight life policy, the premiums will be paid straight through the life of that policy. They are scheduled all the way out to age 100. This is also called a continuous premium whole life. Remember, age 100, the policy endows or matures. And then also remember that how long does it take to build cash value? Exactly, 3 years to build cash value. All right, your next form of whole life is a limited pay whole life. Now, on a limited pay whole life, you're going to get it paid up in a shorter amount of time. So you're not going to be paying premiums all the way out to age 100. It's going to get paid up in a shorter amount of time. Now, it still will mature at age 100, but it's going to get paid up or paid for in a shorter amount of time. Two different ways I've seen it on your test are either like a 20 pay whole life, where you're scheduled to make premium payments for the first 20 years that you have it. After 20 years, no more premiums are due, but your coverage stays in effect up to age 100 or until you die. Another way I've seen it is like a life paid up at age 65, so that you're going to make premium payments until you retire at age 65. However, after age 65, no more premiums are due, and the policy still matures at age 100. Now, you do need to know for your test that a limited pay whole life will build cash value faster than a straight life. So it doesn't take 3 years to build cash value. You can start building it a lot quicker because obviously you're paying more into it in the early years to get it paid up in that shorter amount of time. And then your last form of whole life is a single premium whole life. Obviously, based on the name, only one payment has to go into it. It has to be one big old payment, obviously. Now, on a single premium whole life, you need to know for your test that you can start building cash value immediately, because you pay for all of the policy's cost and expenses in that one single premium you put into it. So those are your three forms of whole life. Now, let's look at some flexible premium policies. The first one is an adjustable life policy. An adjustable life policy is just a permanent policy, bills cash value, has a guaranteed minimum interest rate. Now, on adjustable life, there are some pieces that can be adjusted. Now, I know it says here developed in an effort to provide the policy owner with the best of both worlds, term and permanent coverage. Please don't get caught up on that terminology right there, because that will just confuse you as you're learning about the policy. What I want you to know for your test is that you may have one question over adjustable life, and I'm going to go ahead and give you two of them right now. It's like happy hour on questions with me. So let me give you the first question so you can see why the words on the screen are important. The first question I've seen is, which type of policy allows the policy owner to adjust their premium payment period, their period of protection, or their face amount? So if you see any of these words right here, then you know the question is asking about adjustable life. This policy is good for people whose income fluctuates. So that's going to be the next piece, because the other test question I've seen is, which policy is best suited for somebody who has a fluctuating income? And if you see fluctuating income, once again, you know it's asking about adjustable life. So once again, there's two questions there. You might have one of those on your test, or you might not have either one of them at all. But anyway, don't overcomplicate adjustable life. Next, we have a universal life policy. A universal life policy, once again, permanent policy, bills cash value, matures at age 100, and it takes 3 years to build cash value. Now, the first thing you need to know about universal life is a universal life policy is going to have a flexible premium. Now, you would know that a permanent policy had a flexible premium if you see the word universal in it. Because remember, a minute ago, I said you'd know a policy had a fixed or level premium if you saw what word. Hopefully, you're saying the word whole, okay? So once again, word association if the question's asking you about the premium. And I'll show you a couple of examples in just a moment on this. Now, with Universal Life, since it does have a flexible premium, there's a minimum premium that could get paid on it. If you just pay the minimum premium, that's the amount needed to keep the policy in force for 1 year. It will only cover the cost of insurance, the life insurance piece, which means if you're just putting in the minimum premium, there is no cash value that would get built up during that time. Now, you purchased the policy so that you would have some cash value, so you should put in what's called the target premium. Now, the target premium is going to help you build cash value, and it's the recommended amount that should be paid on the policy in order to keep the policy in force until it matures. So let me kind of give you an example here while we're looking at this. Let's say the minimum premium just to cover your life insurance is $40 a month. Let's say the target premium to help you build cash value and keep it in force till it matures is $75 a month. Well, let's say you can't afford that $75 after a while, you lost your job, finances have changed. Well, since it's a flexible premium policy, you could always just go down to paying the $40 a month. So you don't have to cancel your coverage. Just pay the $40 a month. It's only going to keep the policy in force for a year. After a year, you'd have to put more into it. And also, no cash value would get built up during that time. Now, Universal Life is going to have two components to it. By the way, if you have a question asking about components, they're asking about universal life here. The first component is the insurance component. The insurance component, which is the life insurance piece, is always annually renewable term insurance. And you're going to learn what that annually renewable term insurance is here in just a few minutes. The second component is the cash account. Cash account is where you are going to build your cash value. It accumulates on a tax-deferred basis each year, and it will either earn the guaranteed contract rate or the current interest rate, whichever is higher. So let me show you a couple of things here. So let's say on a universal life policy, the premium is $75 every month. Well, when you pay that $75, not all of it is going to build cash value. First, they have to take out for the mortality cost, which is the life insurance piece. And remember a minute ago, I said, how much was that? $40 a month. Okay. So that leaves 35, but then there's also what they call loads. Okay. That's just the expenses. And let's say that's $5 a month. Now, $45 a month is going out for the life insurance and for their the expenses, which means there is $30 left that will go to build cash value. And it will either grow at the current interest rate, whatever the current interest rate is out in the real world, or the guaranteed minimum interest rate, whichever one is higher. Now, universal life has two death benefit options. And these are very simple. First, there is option A. Under option A, it is a level death benefit. Okay, so it's a level death benefit. So for instance, it starts out at 100,000 and at age 100, it ends at 100,000. Now, you see here next to option A, I have an arrow and it says IRS corridor gap, and that is in your book also. And I'll tell you why those words are important. You do not have to understand how it works, but I'll show you in a moment why the words themselves are going to be important for your test. The second death benefit option is option B. Now, option B is an increasing death benefit. Under option B, the death benefit has to increase as the cash value is increasing. Because under option B, when the insured dies, the beneficiary will collect both the death benefit and the cash value of the policy. So under option B, the death benefit has to increase as the cash value increases. Going back to option A, if it's a $100,000 death benefit, doesn't matter when the insured dies, the beneficiary is only going to get that $100,000. Any cash value that might be in the policy, the insurance company is going to keep to offset their cost. So option A is a level death benefit, where option B is an increasing death benefit. Let me give you a couple test questions so you can see why I do it this way. Here's your first one. Under which universal life death benefit option must it maintain the required IRS corridor gap between the death benefit and the cash value? Option A, there you go. Next, under which universal life death benefit option when the insured dies, does the beneficiary collect both the death benefit and the cash value? And this one is option B, because B is for both. Think of it like that. B is for both. The beneficiary gets both the cash value and the death benefit. So that should help you answer any question that comes up over the death benefit options under a universal life policy. All right, just a couple more permanent policies here. First, we have an interest-sensitive whole life. Interest-sensitive, all that means is it's sensitive to the interest rates out in the real world. Okay, since it is a whole life, if you have a question asking about the premium, know that it has a fixed or level premium because of the word whole in there. Once again, it's going to either pay a guaranteed minimum interest rate or the current interest rate, whichever is higher. Next is equity indexed whole life. Under equity indexed, it will be tied to some indices like the Standard & Poor's 500. Okay, not actually invested in the S&P 500, just tied to the performance of it. The cash value will be dependent upon the underlying index, how well the S&P 500 is doing. Once again, it does have a guaranteed minimum interest rate that gets paid on it. And some words that can help you answer a question over equity index is you need to know for your test is equity index seeks higher returns, because the S&P 500 could go up quite a bit. So know that it seeks higher returns. All right, now let's switch gears just a little bit and let's talk about variable life insurance. Now, variable is going to work a little differently for your test, because for your test, really it is 100% word association for you to answer the few questions that are going to come up over variable. So let me walk through the words you need to memorize on variable life insurance. First, if you as an agent would like to sell variable life insurance or variable annuities, you must not only have a life license, but you have to have your securities license. Now, that securities license that you have is going to be registered with an organization called FINRA, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority. They're formally called the NASDAQ, NASD. So if you see NASDAQ or FINRA, they mean the same thing. Next, since variable products are considered securities, the oversight is going to be the Securities and Exchange Commission, or SEC. So please make sure you remember the license is registered with FINRA, but the SEC is the oversight. Next, if you are going to be the insured under a variable life insurance policy, you're actually going to get to pick where you want your premium dollars invested. Not the insurance company, you get to pick it. You get to pick what's known as the underlying investment, or the subaccount. That could be made up of bonds, stocks, money market, or real estate. But you are going to get to pick it. Let's say you think you're a real estate guru, and so you're going to pick real estate as the underlying investment where you want your premium dollars invested. Let me ask you this. Are you always guaranteed to make money in real estate? Obviously not. So the next thing you need to know about variable policies is there is no guarantees of a return, or another way to say that, of having any cash value. There's no guarantees of a return. Okay, so there is no guaranteed minimum interest rate on a variable policy. You may have cash value, you may not have cash value. Next, with a variable policy, every month when you pay that premium, instead of it going into the insurance company's general account where everybody else's money goes, it has to go into a separate account. So the funds will be kept in a separate asset account, and it will not be commingled with the insurance company's general account funds. Next thing you need to know about variable is it will serve as a hedge against inflation. Now, inflation's bad, right? That's when the price of bread, milk, gas, everything's going up. But guess what else goes up during that time? Hey, real estate does. So that's why your variable will serve as a hedge against inflation. Unlike the rest of the world, if you purchase a variable policy, you kind of want inflation to happen. Next thing I will tell you is that if you purchase, let's say, a $100,000 death benefit, that is the minimum death benefit that would ever get paid out to a beneficiary. It will never go below that. However, if your underlying investment of real estate does well, then the death benefit could go higher than that $100,000. It can just never go below it. Okay, so here's where some word association can help you on your test on these last two pieces on the screen. Because you may have a test question, and it might ask about a variable universal life policy. And it's can ask you what type of premium a variable universal life policy has. And the first thing is you're going to read those words and your brain's going to go haywire. Well, what I'm telling you is if the question about a variable universal life policy is asking about the premium, know that it's going to have a flexible premium because of the word universal. Once again, gets back to our word association. You may have a question about a variable whole life policy and it's going to ask about the premium. Well, If it's variable whole life, it's going to have a fixed or level premium because of the word whole. Once again, if you'll just use word association on the premium on a permanent policy, universal says it's flexible, whole says it's fixed or level. That will help you a lot. All right, so that's it for permanent policies right now. Now let's switch over to term. So term is different than permanent. Term is temporary protection. It only provides coverage for a number of years specified in the contract. That could be like a 10, 20, 30-year term or anywhere in between. I'll use 20 years for some examples that I'm going to give you along the way. So it is temporary protection. Term also differs from permanent policies in that term is called pure death protection. The only reason somebody purchases a term policy is there's a death benefit that would get paid out if the insured dies. There are no other benefits to term insurance, which means there is no cash value to term insurance. Make sure you know that concept. No cash value to term insurance. All right, there's four different types of term insurance that we are going to talk about. First, let me go ahead and start with annually renewable term. It's also called ART. Annually renewable term is the purest form of term insurance. You prove insurability when you first take the policy out. However, every year your premium will go up because every year when you get older, you are attaining a new age. So you need to know for your test that annually renewable term is called an attained age policy. Attained age means how old are you now? That is your attained age. How old are you now? So in an annually renewable term, your premiums every year will be based on your attained age. These next three forms of term insurance, and this is going to be very, very important for your test, level term, increasing term, and decreasing term. These three forms have everything to do with the death benefit of a term policy, which means they have nothing to do with the premium of a term policy. Very important concept. It's either a level death benefit, an increasing death benefit, or a decreasing death benefit. So let's walk through these real quick. So level term, it's a level death benefit, provides a level death benefit and a level premium during the policy term. So once again, I like to use $100,000 as a death benefit. So starts out at $100,000, ends at $100,000, level death benefit. Next is increasing term insurance. And remember, on increasing term, it is the death benefit that is increasing, not the premium. It's the death benefit. This is going to be 1,000,000,000% word association on increasing term insurance. You need to associate increasing term insurance with a specific rider that could be added to a term policy called a return of premium rider, or ROP. Because when the return of premium rider is added to a term policy, it says that if the insured should die anytime during the term, not only would their beneficiary get the $100,000 death benefit, but they would get all the premiums that had been put in up to that point. So instead of it being a level term policy, it becomes an increasing term policy because the death benefit has to increase every time a premium payment is made. Let me be very clear for your test. The only time you will ever, ever, ever pick increasing term as the answer is when you see return of premium rider in the question or vice versa. It will never be your answer unless you see return of premium rider. Next, we have decreasing term insurance. And remember, once again, it is the death benefit that decreases in decreasing term insurance. This is also word association for your test. You need to associate decreasing term insurance with a specific type of insurance called credit life insurance. So credit life is coverage written on the life of a debtor to a creditor. Now the creditor is the policy owner and the beneficiary. The debtor is the one that's insured under the policy. If you have ever gone to a bank to get a loan, most likely they've had you take out a credit life policy, whether it be a car loan, a house loan, or a business loan. It has nothing to do with protecting the creditor, the debtor. It has everything to do with protecting the creditor. Because if the debtor dies before the loan is paid off, then the creditor still wants the money that's owed to them. So there's a credit life insurance policy attached to that loan. Credit life is written as decreasing term insurance because the death benefit of it has to decrease every time a payment is made on that loan. The creditor is not allowed to gain financially from the insured's death. They're only allowed to collect the amount still owed on the loan. So on your test, this is very important. If you have any type of question about anybody going to a bank to get a loan, stop reading after you see somebody's going to a bank to get a loan and look for either credit life or decreasing term insurance. There is no other answer right now that it could be. I'm going to give you one other one in a later video, but right now, if somebody goes to a bank to get a loan, it's either credit life or decreasing term insurance. And then we already talked about annually renewable term being the purest form of term insurance where the premium increases every year. And remember, annually renewable term is an attained age policy. Now let's look at provision that was going to be found in every term policy. This provision says that at the end of a 20-year term, or however long the term is, that the insured has the option of either letting it, the coverage go and not having it anymore, or they could renew it, or they could convert it. Let's say they wanted to renew it at the end of the term. Well, they're going to renew it for another term policy. And they can do that without evidence of insurability. So they don't have to, even if they have some health problems, they do not have to prove insurability. Or they could use the convertible provision and they would convert it at that point to a permanent policy. And once again, they can do it without proof of insurability. Now, if they do either one of these, whether it be the renewing to another term policy or converting to a permanent policy, at that point, their premiums would be based on what? Remember, how old are they today? It will be based on their attained age. So let's talk about the difference between attained age, because there's also an issue age policy. Let's talk about issue age. On an issue age policy, the premiums are based on the date the policy was first issued and they do not change throughout the term. Okay, so it's a level premium throughout the term. So let's say it starts at $50 a month and it ends at $50 a month. It's a level premium. The only way for that premium to go up anytime during the term is if they wanted to increase their benefits. So let's say instead of a $100,000 death benefit, they wanted to increase it to $150,000. So obviously they would have to pay the extra money for that coverage. Next, here's your attained age, and this is your annually renewable term. This is where the premium goes up every year based on your attained age. So on an attained age policy, let's say that the insurance company only starts out by charging $25 a month. Well, they can start out by charging less than they do on an issue age policy because they know every year, what are they going to do? They're going to raise your premiums up. So on an attained age policy, the premiums can start out lower because they know every year they're going to get more money from you. So make sure you know for your test that an attained age policy or annually renewable term has, is going to have the lowest first year premium. Okay, so on a term policy, the lowest first year premium is going to be in annually renewable term insurance. All right, let me give you a quick visual here on your term policies. Once again, you've got your level term, increasing term, and decreasing term. Remember, those are all about the death benefit, nothing about the premium. Increasing term, the only time you will ever pick it is if you see return of premium rider or possibly a COLA rider. A COLA rider is just a cost of living adjustment rider, which means it's going to keep pace with inflation. So that they would use increasing term insurance on that one also. Decreasing term, the only time you're ever gonna pick decreasing term is if somebody's gone to a bank to get a loan and they have a credit life policy. All right. Now, let's switch gears one more time and talk about annuities. Now, we talk about annuities because they're sold by insurance companies. However, annuities are not life insurance. Actually, they're the exact opposite. So, we have to talk about them because they're sold by insurance companies, but they're not life insurance. So, let's look at the difference. First, life insurance is going to create an immediate estate. When you purchase a life insurance policy, let's say, once again, it's a $100,000 death benefit, and if the insurer dies the first day of having it, their beneficiary gets $100,000. So life insurance creates an immediate estate. That $100,000 is called the death benefit of the life insurance policy. Next, annuities being the exact opposite, I always tell people when we talk about annuities, think of a 401k. Think of something that you're putting money into so when you retire, you can take that money out. That is an annuity in a nutshell. So annuities do not create an immediate estate. They are actually for the liquidation of an estate. And any money in an annuity, just like if you had money in a 401k and you die, your beneficiary is going to get that money, but it is not considered a death benefit. It's just a return of any principal and interest that you might have gained. So once again, life insurance creates an immediate estate. Life insurance has a death benefit. Annuities for the liquidation of an estate, and they do not have a death benefit. So that is the main difference between the two. Now let's look at some terminology that you need to know about annuities. First, the owner of an annuity is the one that has all the rights and privileges in the policy. The owner of an annuity names the beneficiary and they can surrender the annuity. Now, the owner, they're the one that purchases it or the entity that purchases it, but not necessarily the one that receives the benefits, because the owner of an annuity could be a corporation, it could be a trust, or it could be any other legal entity. However, the person who receives the benefits or payments from the annuity is called the annuitant. Now, the annuitant must be a real, live, breathing, walking, talking person. The annuitant cannot be a corporation, the annuitant cannot be a trust, and it cannot be any other legal entity. It has to be a person, because once an annuity begins paying out, it's going to provide a life income. So they actually need to know how much longer this natural person is going to be on earth if they're going to pay them a life income. So that's why the annuitant has to be a person. Now, a beneficiary in an annuity is the one that receives the benefits from the annuity if the annuitant dies during the accumulation period. What they will receive is either the amount paid into the annuity or the cash value of the annuity, whichever is greater. All annuities have a surrender charge. All a surrender charge is an early withdrawal penalty. That's all it is. All annuities have it. It's going to be different with every annuity. And it goes down every year until after a certain number of years, it just goes away. Annuities are also considered to be structured settlements. Think if you win the lottery, how would you want the lottery paid, the money paid out to you? It would be in a structured settlement. Okay, so think of, you have a question about the lottery, think of an annuity. All right, some more terminology for you here. There are two periods in an annuity. There is the accumulation period, also called the pay-in period. This is where you are funding your annuity, is during the accumulation period. Now, all annuities, for the most part, are to get you close to retirement so you can start getting an income. So everybody would have a different length of annuity just depending on your age. So you would fund it during the accumulation period for a certain number of years, and what's going to be different for everybody. After that certain number of years is the date of annuitization, and that begins your next period called your annuitization period. Here are the other names for your annuitization period, also called the payout period, also called the liquidation period, also called the annuity period. These are all different names for that one period in the annuity. Now, getting back to the funding of an annuity or how it's paid for, the pay-in, during the pay-in period, the accumulation period, three words that you need to know for your test are either single, level, or flexible. Those words are talking about the funding or how it is getting paid for. Then there are two words that describe the payout of an annuity and when that payout is going to begin. And those words are either immediate or deferred. And here's your definitions for each one. If it is an immediate annuity, that means that the payments start usually within the first year of purchase. So the payout or the income that it starts providing is usually within the first year of purchase. So that's all the word immediate means. The other word about the paying out or when the income is going to start is deferred. All deferred means is the payout starts sometime after the first year of purchase. Could be 20 years down the line. Once again, that's all those words mean on the payout is when it's going to begin. All right, real quick, talk about a variable annuities. You might have one question over variable annuities, so I really don't want you to get too caught up in it here. But with a variable annuity, all the words that we talked about earlier are still the same with variable annuities, just like variable life insurance. So let me recap those so you can once again hear it again and memorize the words. Remember, with variable, you have to have your life license and a securities license. That securities license is registered with FINRA, formerly called the NASDAQ, and the oversight is the SEC. You, as the insured, are going to get to pick the underlying investment of bonds, stocks, or real estate. Since you get to pick it, that means there's no guarantees of a return, so no guarantee of cash value. We know the funds are kept in a separate account, not in the insurance company's general account, and we know it serves as a hedge against inflation. Okay, so all of those words are variable specific. Now, with a variable annuity, when you put money into it, it's like putting money into a mutual fund where you get shares of a mutual fund. But here, they're not called shares, they're called units. During the accumulation phase, they're called accumulation units. So you put in, you know, the amount of money going in every month. However, the number of units you're accumulating is not going to be known each month. Once you annuitize during the annuitization period, then they are called annuity units. Now here, you're going to know the number of units that are going to be coming out. However, the dollar amount of those units are going to not be known until that month. Once again, you might have one question over variable annuity, so I'm not overly concerned about that for your test. And lastly, equity indexed annuities, once again, tied to the S&P 500. Okay, and remember, it seeks higher returns. And you might have a question about what type of license or licenses you need to sell equity indexed life insurance or equity indexed annuities. And you need to know it is a life license only. Okay. Not securities license, because securities license is only going to be with variable up here at the top. Okay, so equity index, it's a life license only. All right, so let's finish up this chapter with some payout options, some for your annuities. Remember, annuities are designed to provide a life income. It's an income you cannot outlive. There's a single life payout or a straight life payout. That's payments for the rest of your life. But if you die too soon, the insurance company is going to keep whatever's left in there. Let me go down here to maybe I want payments for both me and my wife. I could choose either a joint life payout. That's going to be payments for at least two people, and they're going to stop after the first person dies. Or I could choose a joint and survivor payout. That's payments for at least two people, but the payments won't stop until after the second or last person dies. So this terminology, joint life and joint survivor, are going to come in handy two more times, and it works the same way each time. A couple of other payout options on your annuities. It might be a life with period certain payout. That would be a life income for the annuitant. And they could choose like a 20-year period certain for their beneficiary. So that if they died sometime during the first 20 years of payments, then the beneficiary gets the remainder of the 20 years. If the annuitant lives through the 20 years and then they die, the beneficiary doesn't get anything. They have to die during the period certain for the beneficiary to get anything. The most popular payout option here is going to be a life with refund. That's a life income for the annuitant, but if they die too soon, then the beneficiary does get a refund of whatever's left in there. And lastly, let's get back to some life insurance policies. Let's say my wife and I need some life insurance, but we don't have a lot of money. And you're our agent, and you come to our house and you say, John, instead of buying two separate policies, why don't you all buy one policy that would cover both of your lives? That will be a lot cheaper. I'm like, okay, hit me with it. John, you could choose a joint life policy. That's one policy covering two lives, and the death benefit gets paid when the first person dies. Or you could choose a joint and survivor policy, also called survivorship life, which is one policy covering two lives. However, the death benefit doesn't get paid until after the last person dies. And so I ask you, Mr. or Miss Agent, you know we don't have much money. Which one is the most affordable for me and my family? Is it the joint life or the joint and survivor policy? Well, let's look at how the insurance company would treat each one of these so we can figure it out. On a joint life policy, one policy covering two lives, but the insurance company would have to pay the death benefit after the first person dies. And then the policy would go away. Well, my wife could kill me tomorrow and they would have to pay a death benefit. Okay, so that one is going to be more expensive. The cheaper option would be the joint and survivor policy. That's where they don't have to, even if she does kill me, they don't have to pay the death benefit till after she dies. Okay, so the more affordable of the two would be the survivorship life policy. All right, that's going to do it for your types of life insurance policies. Now get onto your exam simulator and do some practice exams over this section, and we'll see you on the next video.